And they started to run. And they started to run and run and run. And they're going as fast as they can. And all of a sudden they heard tremendous thunderous noise. And they started to smell a very, very strong smell. What was happening was behind them was coming gigantic big clouds. And from the clouds was raining down big rocks. And the rocks were on fire. Now these rocks were made out of something called sulfur. Sulfur, if you ever smelled matches, it smells like has a strong smell. And what makes the matches burn is a rock called sulfur. It's really a rock. It has a very strong smell. And it was like big matches, like the head of matches, gigantic big things were falling down on fire from the sky. And they were falling on stone, and they were burning everything up. And this smell also was a very strong smell. Now, Lot and his wife and his daughters kept running. And when they got to a certain place over there near Tsoyar, Malach Gavriel had run all the way to the end, and the four cities were on one rock, like a big gigantic rock. The four cities were built on one rock, and Tsoyar, the fifth city, was off to the side. As soon as Lot and his daughters and his wife got off that rock towards Tsoyar, Malach Gavriel now had to finish destroying the other four cities, Stoyim and the other three cities. And what he did was he lifted up with one hand, he put his one hand under the rock, he lifted it up into the air, and he is now holding up in the air four cities. All the buildings, all the houses, all the parks, the rivers, the trees, the people, the animals. He's holding up four cities with one hand. Four cities up in the air. And then as all of this rain of the burning rocks is going on, what he did was he turned the four cities upside down, and like a big kugel or something, he just smashed it right down onto the ground. And he buried the four cities under the ground. He lifted it up and he turned it over, and he smashed it down, and it made a thunderous, gigantic noise. And Lot's wife wanted to look around. She says, I want to take a look and see. I want one peek at what's going on. I can't stand it. I'm so curious. I want to look. I'm so curious to see what's going on over there. And Lot says, remember, not allowed to look. But I'm so curious, I want to peek to see what's going on over there. Lot says, don't look back. Just keep running. We'll get the Tsoyar. And finally, as they're running, Lot hears his two daughters. He says to his two daughters, are you okay? You coming with me? Yeah, Tati, we're coming. And Lot says to his wife, are you there? Are you there? He doesn't hear any answer. My wife, I'm asking you if you're with me. Are you there? Doesn't hear an answer. Uh-oh. Lot looked around. He was careful not to look back at Stoyim, but he saw his wife. And it looked like she was running, but she was stuck in one place. And he saw that her head was turned around. Back. Uh-oh. She looked back. Come on, let's go. Stop looking already. Stop looking. And he goes over to her, and he grabs her hand to take her. Let's go, quick. And all of a sudden, she didn't move, but her hand crumbled. Her hand came off and crumbled. And she was like a statue. What happened was, she had turned into a pillar of salt. She looked like a person, but like a statue, and she was made out of salt. And her eyes were looking back towards Stoyim. Now, this was Mida Keneged Mida. Hashem punished her that she turned into a thing of salt. Why salt? Because what was her Aveda? She didn't want to give the Orachim even a little bit of salt. She started arguing she didn't want to put out salt. So because she didn't want to give any salt for the Orachim, how did she get punished? When she looked back at Stoim, she turned into a pillar of salt. And the Medrash says like this. Her punishment is not over. Every day, at that place where she is, cows come. They come over there and they find her. Now, cows love salt. Like a kid loves to suck a candy and lick a lolly. What a cow loves, a cow is not interested in a lolly so much, or tofutti, or a pizza, or anything. What a cow loves is to have a piece of salt and lick the salt. To him, that's delicious. The cows go over there, and they find Lot's wife in the morning, and it's a big thing of salt, and they go over there, and they lick her. The whole day, she's got all these cow tongues licking all over the place, until, since so many cows come and lick, so by the end of the day, she gets smaller and smaller and smaller, until they lick the whole thing up and it's gone. And then overnight, Hashem makes the whole thing grow back, like a plant would spring up. The whole thing grows back, and in the morning, she's again there, just as tall as she ever was, made out of salt. And in the morning, the cows come again, and they're licking the whole day with the tongues all over there, licking the salt, until they finish the whole thing down, and then overnight, she grows up again, and that goes on every single day, until Mashiach comes. That's her punishment. That the cows lick the salt every single day. Now, finally, Stoyim was destroyed, and Lot and his two daughters ran to Tsoyar, and the smoke and the thunder and all of the smell and all of the noise was so much. When they got to Tsoyar, they were also afraid that Tsoyar will also get destroyed. So they ran away into the mountains and they hid in a cave because they were afraid that Tsoyar would get destroyed. And it was so much destruction. They thought that the whole world had been destroyed again, and they thought that they were the last people left in the world, Lot and his two daughters. And there's a whole mice over there, what happened in that cave, which I'm not going to go into because I can't tell you everything in all the details. But it's very interesting mice. And now, Avraham, the next day, he went over to the place where he has been speaking to Hashem, and he saw over there by Kikar HaYarden all the smoke coming up and all this fire, and he saw that Stoyim had been destroyed. And now, Kindalach, Avraham had to move away. I'll tell you why. Because there was never anybody on the road anymore. It used to be on the road. There were people. There were travelers. Where were they going? They were going to Stoyim. Because that road went to Stoyim. Stoyim was a big city. And there were the five cities over there. So people came and went. And the reason that Avram lived over there was to teach people about Hashem. And to take people that would ordinarily go to Stoyim and teach them about Hashem. And he was doing all the time over there what Hashem wanted him to do, to help people, to teach about Hashem. But now nobody was over there, so he had to move away, and he moved away to a place called Gerar. Now, when Avram went to Gerar, just like when he went to Mitzrayim, very similar, he told Sarah, anybody ask you, you say that you're my sister and I'm your brother. Otherwise, they might want to take you away and marry you like Paro did in Mitzrayim. And of course, we don't want that to happen. Now, the question is, if Sarah was already 89 years old, a very old lady, why is she now going to worry that she's going to be so beautiful, somebody will take her away to marry her? Because when she went to Mitzrayim was many years before, and she was so beautiful, and they had to worry that maybe somebody will take her away and marry her. Now she's 89 years old, almost 90 years old. And when she heard she was going to have a baby, she laughed. Like, how could it possibly be such an old person to have a baby? And now, the Erst thinking that maybe somebody will want to marry Sarah, what happened? What happened was, Kinalach, that when the Malachim were still by Avraham, a miracle happened that Sarah started to become young again. This is a miracle. An old person, of course, the skin and the body look old because they are old. When a person gets old, the older they get, they go through changes. And Sarah started to turn into a young, beautiful-looking woman again. Just like she's a young lady. And if you look at her, you would never tell that she's going to be almost 90 years old. You think she's a very young woman, and she became very beautiful and young again in order that she would be able to have a baby. And this was a nes. So when she went down to Gerar, they were worried because she's so beautiful, maybe somebody's going to take her away to marry her, like Pari wanted to do the Mitzrayim. And sure enough, Avimelech, the king of Gerar, the king, just like Pari was the king of Mitzrayim, Avimelech was the king of Gerar, he took away Sarah and wanted to marry her. And that night, the night before the Chasaneh, he had a dream, and Hashem came in to him in a dream, and Hashem told Avimelech that if you're going to marry Sarah, you're going to die. And you leave alone this woman because she's really married, and her husband is Avram, and he's a Halakha Tzaddik. And the reason, of course, that they have to say about brother and sister is in order that nobody should take her away and marry her. But since you, the king, took her away to marry her anyway, you have to know that she's a married woman and you're not allowed to marry her, and if you do anything, you're going to die. And you better give her back. And just to make sure that Avimelech will listen to the dream, this is what Hashem did. Every hole in Avimelech's body and every hole in the body of everybody in his kingdom got verstopped and plugged up. And this is a terrible thing. Because when Avimelech woke up, his eyes were closed. He could hardly see, maybe a tiny bit. His ears were closed. He could hardly hear, maybe just a little bit. His mouth was closed.
He could hardly talk, so his mouth closed.
He couldn't go to the Beis HaKisei. Because in order to go to the Beis HaKisei, you have to have holes open in your body. Like you say, Nekavim, Nekavim, Chalulim, Chalulim, and Asher Yatzar. Your body and all the holes and all the different things in your body have to work properly to go to the bathroom. And if Chas V'Shalom, one of the holes gets closed up, you can't go to the bathroom. And it's a terrible, terrible feeling not to have to go to the bathroom if you have to go to the bathroom. And Avimelech woke up and he believed his dream. And he got very afraid. And the people of his kingdom woke up and they had the same thing. They didn't know what was going on. They could hardly see, they could hardly hear. They couldn't go to the Beis HaKisei. And everybody was running around the palace trying to find out what's going on. And in order to speak one to the other, you have to go up to his ears, because his ears are closed and your mouth is closed. If you want to speak to them, you have to try to move your mouth, and then you have to scream really loud because his ears are closed. You have to try to talk it right in his ear. And Avimelech went to Avraham, and he begged Avraham to daven for him, that he should get a refuah shlema, and the holes should open up, and he promises him that he's going to give back Sarah, his wife. And Avraham davened, and Avimelech got a refuah shlema. And they lived in Gerar over there for 26 years. A year later, just like the Malachim had said, just like Malach Mechoel had said, sure enough, Sarah became pregnant, and she had a baby on Pesach. Many, many big nisim happened on Pesach, and one of the big nisim is that Yitzchak was born. And the name Yitzchak is laughing. Yitzchak means laughing. Tzchaik in Hebrew means laughing. Now, why was he named Yitzchak? One of the reasons is that the whole world on that day was full of laughing. Everyone was laughing in the world. You go out on the street, everyone is laughing. You go somewhere, everyone is laughing. Why? Because on the day that Yitzchak was born, many nisim happened to everyone. For example, first of all, Yitzchak was born, and this was a nes, so anybody who knew Avram and Sarah were very happy for them, so they were laughing because Yitzchak was born. But people that were blind, and they could not see anything their whole life, they woke up that morning, and all of a sudden, they opened up their eyes, and for the first time, they could see. And so they were laughing because they could see. They were so happy. And they went outside and they could see everything. They told their friends, hey, I could see. So their friends are laughing because they're happy for the ones that could see. Other people, Nebuch, were deaf. Deaf means they can't hear. They never heard anything. That morning they woke up and they could hear. And they started to listen to everything. Such a pleasure to be able to hear for the first time in their life. You can imagine. And they ran out in the street and they started listening to the birdies singing and they started listening to everything and they were so happy and their friends were happy for them. They were laughing. Other people that could not talk, they woke up that morning, they started to talk. Other people that Nebuch were crippled or handicapped, they could not walk, their feet could not go. They got up that morning and they jumped out of bed and started to run around, started to dance, started to walk and run. And so everybody had miracles. Women that never had a baby gave birth on that day. And there were so many besuras toves and simchas, and sick people got a refuah shleima. So everybody was laughing. That's why he was called Yitzchak. There was laughing in the whole world. Now, the minhag was, well, first of all, on the eighth day, Yitzchak had his bris milah. He was the first baby on the eighth day to have the bris milah. Avram made the bris himself. Avram was the moel. Yishmael also had a bris milah when he was 13. That's why to this day the Arabs have their circumcision when they're 13. It's not really a bris milah, because a bris milah is a halakha thing. It's not just a circumcision, but they cut off the skin. But a bris milah is a halakha avoida to Hashem, and then with special things that we do, it has to be done, of course, by a moyel in the way according to Torah, or else it's not a kosher bris milah. And for 2 years, Yitzchak nursed, and the meaning was that when he stops nursing and he starts eating regular food, on this day they make a simcha and they make a suda and they make a special day, because it shows that the child is getting older and bigger and more gesund. And so when Yitzchak was 2 years old, and some say this story happened by the bris when he was 8 days old, Avram made a big special suda. What means a big suda? That he invited great people there. Avimelech came to the suda, and Shem and Aver came to the suda, and special people came to the suda, and they were celebrating that Yitzchak, the little baby to Avram and Sarah, was now getting to be bigger. And of course, this is going to be the leader of the Yidden. After Avram, Yitzchak is going to be the leader of the Yidden, the special people from Hashem, and teaching people also to believe in Hashem and throw the getchkas in the garbage can and to serve Hashem. And many, many people came to the Suda. Now, first of all, some people were talking Lashon Hara, and they were saying, you know what, this little baby does not really belong to Avram and Sarah. They fooled everybody. They found this baby in the marketplace. Every once in a while, unfortunately, even it happens nowadays, somebody has a baby, but they don't want to take care of the baby. They put the baby in a little basket, and they put the baby somewhere out in the open, and they run away, and the next person that finds the baby all of a sudden sees a little baby there, and they take care of the baby, or they take the baby somewhere, and the baby grows up in a different place than his parents. Unfortunately, this happens once in a while, that somebody gives away a baby like that. And they said that Avram and Sarah found a baby. And they really didn't have their own baby. You know why? Because they're too old. How could old people like that? Avram is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. How can they have a baby? Impossible. They found a baby and they're fooling everybody. And they were talking over there by the party, such a thing. Now, Hashem made a big mess to happen, to show everyone that they were wrong. Now, everyone knows that only a woman that had a baby for real is able to nurse a baby. A woman that didn't have actually a baby cannot nurse a baby. It was time to nurse Yitzchak, and Sarah lined up all the babies and all the mommies, and she said, not only am I going to nurse Yitzchak, I guess he was still nursing a bit, because they don't go right to eat only regular food after nursing right away. I guess they still nurse a little bit and they go to food slowly. She said, all women with babies, get in a line and I'm going to nurse your babies for you. And she nursed all the babies that were there. Not only Yitzchak she nursed all the babies. So everyone saw that Sarah really had her own baby. And besides the fact that the baby's face looked exactly like Avraham. Now, if the baby looks exactly like the Tati, it probably means that that's their own baby and not somebody else's baby. Is that right? And Yitzchak's face looked exactly like Avraham. I don't say that he had a beard when he was a baby, but his face looked like Avraham's face. Now, there was a big giant, and his name was Oig. Oig was very, very upset. First of all, Oig was not invited to this party. Second of all, Oig was a big, gigantic giant, and nobody ever made a big deal out of Oig. Nobody ever treated Oig with such a big party like that and speaking about Oig, because actually Oig really didn't deserve it. He was a troublemaker and he was not such a good giant, and he got very jealous that this little baby, 2 years old, or if it was the bris he was 8 days old, everyone is talking about little Yitzchak and they're making a big deal out of Yitzchak, and everybody, little Yitzchak was just a little baby, 2 years old. And Oig said, what's the big party for? For that little baby? I could squish that baby with my pinky. Make for me a big giant a big party, not for a little baby a big party. And Avram says, the Yidden will come out from this tzaddik. Hashem doesn't look at big and small. Just because you're a big, gigantic giant doesn't mean you're better, and because he's a little tiny baby, he's not better. This little baby Yitzchak is going to be a great tzaddik and one of the avos of the Yidden, and you, Oig, are doing a Vedas. Really, you're smaller than the baby. The baby's a giant compared to you when Hashem looks at it. And Oig says, I'll kill all the Yidden. I'll show you who's great. And Avram says, you don't start up with a tzaddik. And it says in Lech Lecha Kinalach, it says, V'avarecha mevarachecha. I will give a bracha to those who give you a bracha. U'mekalelcha a'oir. Whoever... Whoever curses, I'll curse them. That means whoever starts, whoever gives a bracha to a yid, whoever helps a yid, who's ever nice to a yid, Hashem is nice to them and helps them and gives them a bracha. Whoever starts up with a yid trouble, in the end, that person gets in big trouble. Hashem will start up with him. Oig is starting up with the Yitzchak and starting up with the Yidin. And Avram says, just know that the end of you is going to be through one little Yid. And Oig starts laughing with chutzpah. Never will happen. Well, this is the story, Kenilach. I'll tell you a bit kitzer because it's almost time to go. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yidin are going on the way to Eretz Israel, and Oig wants to stop them from going to Eretz Israel, and he says, now is the time, I'm going to show who's great, I'm going to kill all the Yidin. And he went out into the Midbar, and he saw the Yidin Kinalak, thousands and millions of Yidin were all in the Midbar together, and the camp of the Yidden was 12 miles long and 12 miles wide. That's how many Yidden there were in the Midbar. Now 12 miles is like here to the end of Manhattan. All covered with Yidden. And here all the way to Borough Park, filled with Yidden. And Oig says, ha-ha, the Yidden think they'll go there to Israel? They'll die in the Midbar. I'll show them who's great. And Oig went and he picked up a mountain. And the mountain was 12 miles long and 12 miles wide. And Oig held it above his head. And he stomped out into the Midbar. And he says, hey, Yidden, look at me. Say Shema Yisrael for the last time, because I'm going to throw on you this mountain and bury you in the Midbar. And you'll never go to Eretz Israel. Hey, I'll get it for myself and my friends. And he's getting ready to throw the mountain on the Yidden. And the Yidden got afraid to see this gigantic giant with a gigantic mountain above his head ready to throw it on them. And they daven to Hashem to help. And Oig says, nothing will help you now. Because Oig is here and you're finished. And Kinalach, Hashem wanted to show Oig that just because you're big and strong doesn't mean you can chas v'shalom do anything against Hashem. All of a sudden, this is what happened, I remember it. In the mountain, Kinalach, are little bugs, little ants, little worms, little bugs. They crawl in the dirt. Now these bugs, you should know, are always crawling in the dirt and they're breaking up the dirt. And they let the air and they let the water go down in the dirt. That's how you're able to grow things in the ground, because there's always worms and bugs crawling around in the dirt. But they crawl kind of slow. All of a sudden Hashem made the bugs and the worms very nervous. All of a sudden Hashem made them all very nervous and they started to go through the dirt and bite through the dirt very fast. The worms started to move very fast. The ants and the bugs and the uncles, all the bugs started to go through the dirt very, very fast. And when they go very fast, they start breaking up the dirt until it became very, very soft. And a big hole opened up right above Oig's head because the mountain was very soft. And above his hands, and he wasn't able to hold on to the mountain anymore because it became too soft, and the whole mountain came down on his head. Now, his head was now inside of the mountain, like a hat, but it was over his head, he couldn't see anything, and his head was stuck inside the mountain. And Oig said, all I've got to do is take this off my head and throw it down on them. But Hashem made another nest. His two teeth, these kind of teeth on these side, the sharp teeth, these two teeth all of a sudden grew very long and stuck into the mountain like two nails. He made his teeth grow out very, very fast and very strong, and now his head was completely stuck inside the mountain and he couldn't get it off. And now the Yidden saw that Oig was moving back and forth, and they're still in danger because he could still fall on them with the mountain together. So not only a mountain, but a giant together is going to fall on them. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu Kinalach jumped up on the mountain, and he went and he killed Oig and he pushed him over the other way. So Oig fell only in the part of the Midbar. There was nobody there. And Moshe Rabbeinu killed Oig. And so we see the bracha was fulfilled that a little Yid would kill Oig. Who was the little Yid? Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, he was a great Yid, but compared to how big Oig was, he was small. But one Yid killed Oig, and that was the end of Oig.